Welcome to New Paris Missionary Church's Sermon Podcast. It's our hope and prayer that the following message will help you to grow in knowledge and in faith in Jesus Christ. For more sermons, be sure to visit our website at mynpmc.com or visit our YouTube channel, or you can download our church app on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and search under Media. And now, here is our senior pastor, Dave Hackney, with this week's message.
I'm sure that some of you would be more than happy to raise your hand and say, yes, I remember about 5 weeks ago that we went through a kind of a little mini-series on discipleship. And that's where I would say, if you remember that, would you just raise your hand? But I held back because I didn't think there'd be that many that would remember. It was kind of a broad stroke for sure. And then we went into the Easter season. We started talking about the triumphal entry. In fact, we talked about the triumphal entry for 2 weeks before we got into last week. And we talked about the resurrection. And of course, we talked about the women who went to the well. And there was kind of a message that came from that. Two things that were critically important. The first is that there's an open tomb for you to come and for you to see that Jesus is risen. And part of our claim from that whole message was that's the call that Christ gives to us to go out to others, to tell the story that, look, Christ is risen. That's the key. And second is that we're supposed to go and tell everybody. That's what the women did. And that was kind of the sum of the message last week. Now, here's where we're going to go. I was kind of laughing when Andrew was saying, are we going to be over here in the book of Matthew? We're going to be all over the place for the next little while, actually. So it's not going to be just the book of Matthew. But here's where we're going to go. We're going to talk about evangelism. We're going to talk about what does it mean to reach people? What does it mean to tell them about Jesus? What is it that you say to people when you tell people about this Jesus? See, I think that there's a part of us that we want to love them so much, we want to care for them so much, we want to give them the good news so much, but sometimes we don't know what that message is. And I would dare to say that there's some of you who are here today who maybe have been in the church for a very long time, and maybe at no fault of your own, but you just haven't been able to figure out, how do I stand at that cooler on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday and tell that friend that I have there, who I know doesn't know Jesus, the right message? What do I tell them? I know this morning is going to be a message that for some of you, maybe for a small number of you, that you're going to say, Pastor Dave, this is just too straightforward. It's just too simplistic. But I need you to understand that if we don't all get it right, and that means whatever level that you're at, then we will not get it right in the end. And I pray that for those of you who are at level 4, and I'm speaking to some this morning who are at level 1, that you'll at least allow your hearts to be open, your minds to be open, to see what it is that God might want to reteach you when it comes to this whole issue of evangelism. So, here's the question that I ask that you consider this morning as we begin our time together. What is evangelism? I mean, if we're using the term, and we're going to talk about it out loud, what is it? I mean, you can't start with a more basic concept than that if we're going to talk about this subject for the next number of weeks. And as we begin this, I want us to look at a couple of words that are going to be so critically important. We're going to look at a verb first, to evangelize, and then we're going to look at a noun, which is the gospel or the good news. Those are the two things that we're going to evaluate this morning and to try to make sure that we're clear about what those things mean. And this morning, as we do so, I'd like to ask that right now that you bow your heads. And let's go before the Lord. And let's ask Him to help us, to give us exactly what we need for the journey that's ahead of us. Because, folks, this is not to be taken lightly. In fact, it's something that each and every one of you this morning are called to do, whether we choose to or not. It's critically important. So let's pray together this morning. Father, there is nothing that we could possibly talk about more that would help us more than to understand that because we have this good news, Lord, that we convey that good news the way that it was supposed to be conveyed. That, Lord, that we share this news the way that it was intended to be shared. That, Lord, that we don't make it more than it is or less than it is. And, Father, for that, we need your help. Because left to our own nature and our own work, nothing can be accomplished. Eyes cannot be opened without you opening them. And so, Father, this morning, would you open our eyes? Lord, would you give us clarity of mind this morning as we look into your word to help us to know, as we begin this journey together, as we begin to think about what our call is, what our mission is tomorrow, that, Lord, that we would be more than equipped to do the work, Lord, that you called us to do. So, Father, that's what we ask for today. We ask for it today. We ask for it every day. Because eternity is banking on it. That's how important this is. And so, Father, this morning we commend this time to you and we ask for your presence even right now. And, Father, it is in your precious and your wonderful name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So this verb that I want us to look at from the start is this word evangelize. Now, this word evangelize is used 52 times in the New Testament. 25 of those times is used by Luke, not only in his gospel, the gospel of Luke, but also in the book of Acts as well. 21 times this word evangelize is used by Paul. And it's an essential meaning. And when you think about the meaning of it, you can almost use the word evangelize to say it this way. It is to proclaim the good news or to announce the good news. So when you hear the word evangelize and you're asking yourself, what is it? It is just that. It is to proclaim or is to share the good news. Now, I'd like for us to turn to all 52 of those examples this morning so we have clarity about what this all means, except we're not going to. But I feel like it's necessary that we at least look at a few. And so I want to ask you, as you ponder this together with me this morning, to consider these phrases that are going to be used to interact and to be interwoven with this issue of evangelizing, okay? So look at with me. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't have your Bibles this morning, you can look at Media Shout. It'll be there as well. But I want you to look, first of all, at Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And I want you to look at the use of this verb, evangelize. And here's what it says. It says in verse 1, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another. Here's the key word. If you have your Bibles open and you want to underline it, you can do that. He went to village to another, proclaiming. Now, when you use the word evangelize, you're also interacting and using the same word proclaiming as that same word, right? So he's proclaiming or he's evangelizing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the word proclaiming there is the word that emerges from the root word to evangelize. Then if you go over then, and you look at if you follow Luke's path and you look over to Acts, you'll see this in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, where he uses another word for that. He says this in Acts chapter 8, verse 12. He says, when they believed, Philip, depending upon what translation you have, you're going to see the word either proclaimed or preached there. Now, you might have a different translation, and both of those are the same. That this word is translated, preached, proclaimed, is once again the same word for evangelize. So when you stop and you think about that, there's these different words that are being used to describe what it means to evangelize. One more for you. Acts chapter 10, verse 36. He says this in Acts chapter 10, verse 36. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel. And again, depending upon your translation, it may be different. One might be telling the good news, or for you, as you see here this morning, it's announcing the good news. So when you find the words like preaching, proclaiming, announcing, or telling, or if you like, evangelizing, that's what that is. So if you take your Greek concordance, I think it'd be a good exercise for you to take your Greek concordance and just open it up, if you have one, and look, and you're going to see that this is accurate, that these words, preaching, proclaiming, announcing, and telling, are interchangeable with this verb that we're talking about, to evangelize. Now, the second word this morning, and I know this is not an English lesson, but I want you to understand where we're going today. The second word that I want us to look at is a noun that emerges from the same thing about evangelizing. And that word is simply the gospel, or you could also interchange it with the good news. They are the same. And the noun, the gospel, or the good news, is used 72 times in the New Testament alone. 54 of those times is used by Paul as he writes. So as you think about the gospel or the good news, I want to tell you some things this morning about what is connected to the gospel. That's where we're going to land this morning. I want us to specifically make clear, what is the gospel and what is the gospel connected to? Now, some of you this morning, again, you're going to think this is really simplistic, that you are way beyond this. But folks, this is critical that we start at the foundation, because if we lose sight of what the foundation is, then the message that we get and the message that we give can get distorted. And we need to be clear about what our message is. So this morning, I want to give you just a few things to consider when you think about what is the gospel, okay? So if you have pencil and paper, you're going to want to write these things down. The first thing this morning as it relates to the good news or is this. It's the gospel of the kingdom. That's number one. It's the gospel of the kingdom. If you go to, and if we were in a smaller group, here's what I would do. If we were in a smaller group, we would all gather around in a circle. I'd give each of you a verse, and each of us would read that out loud, and we would see that together. Since we're in a large group this morning, some people get upset because they weren't called upon to read. I'm just going to read to you just a couple of them this morning, and I want you to see how this is the good news of the kingdom, okay? So if you have your Bibles open, kind of hold your finger at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Turn over then to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and just hang on to those for just a minute. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And you're going to see this as we walk through this together, okay? So Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, this is what it says. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of, and say it with me this morning, proclaiming the good news of what? The kingdom. Now look at how we find this stated. We're going to see whose kingdom this is. Because folks, we need to understand, what is the kingdom and who does it belong to? Well, it's God's kingdom. It's the kingdom that Christ reigns as king in. It is him who reigns over that kingdom. And the announcement of that kingdom rule of Christ is there in the midst of what you and I just looked at. But you just have to go along just a couple of verses later and look at verses 24 and look at verses 25 of Matthew chapter 4. That's key. And then if you go on to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, look at this. It's the same thing again, almost identical. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news, here it is again, of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. So Jesus is going around and he says, my kingdom rule is here. It's reigning now as people's lives are being changed, as people's lives are being touched by me. And when we think about evangelism, or we think about proclaiming the gospel that we're proclaiming, it's first and foremost the gospel of the kingdom. So when you're thinking about how you're going to proclaim this message, we need to understand that first and foremost, we're talking about a gospel that's pointing to the kingdom. That's number one. The second thing is, it's the gospel of God. Now, again, this seems pretty straightforward, and it's important, brothers and sisters, this morning, because it seems simplistic, that we don't lose sight of this today. So for some of you who are already checked out because this is way below you, then I'm afraid that you're going to miss something along the way. But you need to understand what the message is supposed to be when you're sharing the message of Jesus Christ. And look at this with me. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming, and here it is, the good news of God. So obviously, those phrases are interchangeable. The gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of God. They are the same. They're interchangeable. I want to give you one more. This is why I told Andrew, we're going to be all over the place this morning, so you can't tell everybody. We're going to be here this morning. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now look at this with me. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of God, of our God, we dared to tell you His gospel. So it's His gospel, it's God's gospel, it's the kingdom gospel. Now, we need to understand, as we go out to evangelize, you're going to hear some people say, well, you know what? That's your idea. You made it up. It's something that you formed. And brothers and sisters, it's in that moment that you and I might say, well, I feel a little unsettled about that, because maybe that's what this is. And it's in those moments that when you're thinking about how you respond to that person, that you can say, no, this is not something I made up. It's not something that I developed. This is not my gospel. This is God's gospel. This is the kingdom gospel. This is the good news that we're proclaiming. We didn't dream it up. It's the kingdom gospel. It's the good news of God. And this is true on many different levels. When you think about who you're pointing to, it's the good news about God, who is the creator. First and foremost, that's who He is. When you're telling the good news of God and what He has done, first and foremost, He is the creator. And He is the God who has revealed Himself in the world. It's not something that we just kind of put together a little booklet to pass out, but we can say to people that God, who is creator of the universe, also demonstrated Himself. He showed up and He showed Himself. That's important. It's not man trying to scramble to have an encounter with divinity or with infinity, but instead it's the good news about God and that He's revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what's happened. So when we're thinking about how do we share the good news, it's not just, hey, come to the church and let's have a great time together. It's about telling people about the kingdom and about God and about what He has done. And therefore, it follows that the good news is not only about God, but it's the good news from God. It's the good news of what God is bringing. And it's there that we find its origin. It is God who is giving this to us. And that's why it's a serious matter. That's why that we're not to distort it or to fiddle with the good news. But instead, we're to give them the good news. And if it's God's gospel, brothers and sisters, it's not your gospel. If it's God's gospel, it's not my gospel. And if it's His gospel, I think it is good that we tell it God's way, because it is His gospel. We don't have to fiddle with it. We don't have to look at the pages and say, well, you know, I'm not sure that this doesn't really fit in the South. So we won't talk about this, because in the South, it wouldn't go well. Or, you know, out West, you know, they're a little more liberal out there. So we're not going to talk about this section of the Bible. No, it is the good news of God, from God, who is the originator of it. And if it's His gospel, we tell the gospel His way. All of it, all the time. And that's critically important. And if it's God's gospel, and we're to do it His way and tell it His way, that's why Paul would then tell us, and by the way, I'm inviting you to come to our Wednesday night Bible study. If you were, you would have already found this to be true, as we're going right now through the book of Galatians. But in Galatians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul is talking about this, and he says these words. He says, as we have already said, he says, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than that what you have accepted, let them be under God's curse. And what's happening is that there are these people, these Judaizers, who are saying, you know what, we realize that you Galatians have found this relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's not enough to accept Jesus Christ based upon the blood, based upon the death, based upon the resurrection. You need to be circumcised. And Paul says, don't fall into that trap of getting caught into this extra stuff that was never meant to be. The message of the gospel is about one thing. It's about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done. You add to it, you fiddle with it, and it will destroy the message. And that's what Paul's getting at here. And that's what we're talking about here. It is the message of the kingdom. It's the message of God. And thirdly, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that you're saying right now, again, man, Pastor Dave, you just brought the most simple message that you could to a congregation who has gray hair, many of them do at least, and we've been around the block, and now you're trying to give us this. Some of you don't have any hair at all, so you guys can be fortunate this morning. And that's right. But let me say to you this morning, for those of you who are at level 4, if we do not deal with those who are at level 1, and by the way, I have this sinking suspicion that some of you who are at level 4 really could understand and learn something from us this morning who are dealing with it from level 1. But we won't benefit, brothers and sisters, to those who are underneath us if we miss what is foundational. If we don't get the foundation right, then everything else gets lost. So I'm not going to apologize this morning for this beginning. I won't do that. It's the gospel of Jesus. And once again, I'm going to ask you to look again. Look at this at 2 Corinthians. We're all over the place this morning. I realize that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at what Paul says. Beginning with verse 1, he says these words. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, don't miss this while we're going through this. Paul says, you know, if we're going to proclaim this good news, if that's what we're here for, if we're here to evangelize, we need to do so realizing that the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus, if this is what it is, it's a gospel which men and women, brothers and sisters, do not by nature see or understand. They don't, because their eyes are blinded to spiritual truth. And I know what you're saying right now. You're saying, well, if that's the case, then what in the world are we going to do? I mean, what's our role in all of this? That is if they're spiritually blinded, right? If they're spiritually blinded, we don't have the ability to pull back the clouds of darkness. We don't have the ability to do that. But who does? God does. God, who's the originator of this gospel. And how he pledges to open the blind eyes? Well, it's a result of believing prayer of God's people. And I need to say something to you this morning, and I don't want to sound critical. But if you haven't found yourself on a daily basis on your knees praying, if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Jeff, I don't even know how to pray, then brothers and sisters, then we're missing out on everything that opens the door for blind eyes to see, for people to come to know and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. No amount of practical instruction is going to change anything, at least with lasting benefits, for us or for those who we're sharing the good news with, if we don't find ourselves on our knees. It starts there. Why are we going to go out and we're going to pray throughout our community? It's because there are people whose eyes are blind, who cannot see. And for us to knock at the door and give them this little bit of literature is one thing. But until we seek the face of God and ask him to do a work that only he can do, then brothers and sisters, it's for naught. So then Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, he says, because of the service by which you have proven yourself, that you proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, because of what you and I have done on our knees, and for the generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Not only was Jesus bringing the gospel message by his coming, but he also embodies it. That's what he's doing. It's the greatness of this beautiful picture. We don't have to put together this long print of instructions and say, here's what you need to have. This is how you find about the good news. No, brothers and sisters, we point them to Jesus Christ because he not only came, but he embodied it. He lived it. He showed it to us. That's the good news. So it's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And fourthly, It's the gospel for all nations. See, it encompasses so much. In Mark chapter 13, verse 10, it's very clearly given to us. And the gospel must first be preached to who? To all nations. This is Jesus speaking about end times. This is the time of his return. And Jesus says, my gospel is going to be proclaimed to all the nations. Now, I know I said this last week when we were talking about those statistics of those who no longer find themselves as part of the church anymore. But brothers and sisters, do you realize that there are about 2.5 billion people in the world that don't know anything about Jesus Christ, that remain still unevangelized? I mean, that should convict our hearts today. So the gospel is for all nations. And this truth helps us to understand and realize that it's our responsibility to cross certain barriers that we so desperately need to cross. The barriers of class, the barriers of creed, the barriers of culture, and if there's a cost that is involved in doing any of those things. Because Jesus says, you're to go out into all the world proclaiming the good news to all creation, to everyone. It's not for you and I to just say, well, you know what? I got saved, so that's good enough. You and I have a responsibility. Somebody once said, and I wish that I could have found the author of this, but I think that this is important for you to just kind of hear it, maybe even write it down. But this is what he said. He said, a person must give their life to that which gave them life. That's good news. Why are you so on fire about Jesus? It wasn't that he made your life better. He made you a new life. And if he gave you a new life, you should give that new life to him to go out and do the same for others, if it's truly what's in your heart. It's about giving our lives to the message which has been given to us, because that message changed your life. It made you new. He gave you a new heart. And that message, brothers and sisters, is for all nations. And some of the maybe most challenging words that I have to give to you this morning is what Paul gives to us in Romans chapter 10. And this is the last part of it. But in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, this is what Paul says. This should be conviction to the church today. He says, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the name of, how can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And some of you are thinking this morning, I know exactly what you're thinking right now. Well, I haven't been sent. I haven't been sent. I haven't been called to the ministry. I haven't been called to the teaching. Yes, you have. Oh, yes, you have. In John chapter 20, Jesus tells us that. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Now, you can argue that and say, well, Pastor Dave, I think he was talking to the disciples there. I think he's talking to the believers. Yeah, he is. But he's not just talking to them alone. He's talking to you and to me. So it is a gospel to all nations. And last, and this is it, it's a gospel that must be personally received. It's not something that we ignore. The message is not, well, there was a Jesus who died on a cross, therefore, you're automatically forgiven, and we'll see you in heaven. That's not the message, brothers and sisters. Last week, when we all gathered together here, and we all talked about the fact that the tomb was empty, that Jesus is no longer there, and he's in heaven, and he's coming back again. Brothers and sisters, that is not a message for all of us to hear to say, and because of that, you're all good. That's not the message. It can be taken that way, but it's not meant to be that way. Because the message is that Jesus died on the cross. He was raised again. He made possible for your salvation. Now it is up to you to repent and have faith in him, and he'll make it clear to you in his experience with you of what he has already accomplished in your heart. A changed heart, a new heart. And I end on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 2, he says again, Paul says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." Everything else, it doesn't matter. It is this gospel that you stand upon. It is this foundation. So what does it mean to come to a knowledge of the gospel? It's about hearing it. It's about receiving it. It's about living it. And it's about holding firm to it, brothers and sisters. Let me say it to you again. It's hearing it. It's receiving it. It's living in it. And it's holding firm to it. That's the gospel message. That's the gospel and what it means. That's what evangelizing is. That's what it means to evangelize. That's what the gospel is. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel to all nations, and it's a gospel that must be received. That's the message that we tell. That's the foundational pieces of it all. And so when you start thinking about how you to share that gospel, those are the things that matter. That's what the message is all about. And brothers and sisters, once we get the foundational piece in place, then everything else that we're going to talk about in the weeks to come are going to help us as we walk through these doors and walk out of these doors and speak to our neighbors, to our friends, to our coworkers about this person named Jesus Christ. It is not enough just to say, you got to get to church, you got to get saved, you got to give them the message of the gospel. Would you stand this morning with me and let's sing together? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And I just want to talk to you personally. I just want to know where we're at today. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed this morning, I just wonder if you would have the courage this morning just to be honest about where you're at today. Maybe there are some of you who have already found yourself so longing to want to share what God has done in your life. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I have that hunger, I have that desire, but being able to relay that message, to be able to give that message, it's been so hard for me to understand how to. This morning, we've been talking about what it means to evangelize and what the gospel is. Can I ask you this morning, if you're here, would you this morning, if you're that person today, would say, Pastor Dave, whether it's at level 4, level 3, level 2, level 1, who cares about what level it is? But I stand before you today, Pastor Dave, as someone who I'm not sure that I could have explained what the gospel is. I'm not sure what it really means to evangelize. If you found yourself this morning being in that place, just so that I know how to pray for you moving forward, would you just raise your hand up and put it right back down? And I want you to know that I'll pray for you. I see it. Yep, I do. I see it. Yep, I do. None of us should be surprised. Our hearts are so willing, our hearts desire so much to share the good news. But the good news is that which God has given us, and we need to make sure that we share the right message. So Father, this morning, Lord, I pray that in these weeks to come, Father, would you prepare all of our hearts? And Father, I pray that you start right here with me, and that, Lord, that the message that you give to us, the message that you speak to us, Lord, it would be a message that would prepare us, that would set the foundation for Father, for what it is that you want us to do tomorrow, what our calling is, what our job is in this world. That, Lord, that we would not shy away when those opportunities happen. That, Lord, that we would take advantage of those ordained moments that only you give to us, that you have predestined, that you brought about in such an incredible way, to give to others what has already been given to us. The gift of life, the message of life, and where it comes from, and how we get it, and how we develop it in our lives every day. Father, I pray that there would be a revival that takes place in our lives, and in the lives of those, Lord, that you place us around every day. And that's where it starts. That's where it begins. And it begins with our hearts being right, that our hearts being prepared for what you have called us to do. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be so ready. Help us, Lord, to be prepared. But most importantly, may we be humble enough to remember that it's going to be all because of what you do. What you do. And you alone. Father, we love you. And we thank you for the privilege that we get to have to share that good news with other people. Father, help us to be bold. Help us to be prepared. Help us to be able to deal with the hard things and not give up. Because you're worth being lifted up. And Father, oh, how we look forward to lives being changed forever because of the good news. Father, take us from this place. And Lord, use us as you choose. All for your glory. All for your glory. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for listening to New Paris Missionary Church's Sermon Podcast. We would love for you to join us in person. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 10 a.m. both in person and online. We also have a Wednesday midweek service which begins at 6:30 p.m. with something for everyone. We are located at 67621 State Road 15 in New Paris, Indiana. For more sermons, be sure to visit our website at mynpmc.com, or you can visit our YouTube channel. You can also download our church app on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and search under Media. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you soon.